Good morning, class. We're so glad that you are with us today on this beautiful Friday morning in November. And it's cold outside, but we got a great fire going, and we want to include, invite all of our class to enjoy today. And I was praying, Lord, open up my heart, my spirit, my eyes to hear what we need to hear about Psalms 91. I am I don't even know if I want to use the word excited. Psalms 91 is a powerful psalm. We have prayed it over ourselves this week. And we pray it over our children, not in fear, but claiming the promises. Remember last week, I told you there are 23 promises in Psalms 91. And there's 15 conditions, okay? It is a conditional psalm. If we meet the conditions, the promises will be enforced. I was reminded of that this morning in my prayer time. Especially, and we're going to be teaching from the second verse today, but I was in my prayer time, I was so enraptured with Psalms 91. And I was praying it loud, and I was saying, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then I said, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you cannot get this, and I know we're going to be on verse 2. You cannot get the second part of verse 1 if you don't do the first part of verse 1. If you do the dwelling, God will do the protecting. Okay? Did you get that? If you do the dwelling, if you do taking your abode, lodging, habitation, abiding. If you do that, then you are, I'm going to use this word, you are entitled to claim the second part of verse 1 that says, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. Oh my, and I just got really captured away with that this morning. I am so thankful. I said, God, I am dwelling in my secret place. God, I am in my secret place. God, I am in my private place, my praying place, my communion place. And because of that, God, I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Praise God. And I got excited about that because when I think about the shadow of the Almighty overshadow, what is it, man?
I was looking at your shadow. I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, overshadowing us. He overshadows us. Praise God. Shadow us. And we will talk about this way down into the verses more about what happens when we're overshadowed. This is not, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is not a trivial verse. This should be a chapter that's very dominant in your life and very prominent. In all actuality, there should not be a day that you don't go by without claiming the 23 promises of Psalms 91. Oh, hallelujah. Glory
to
God.
Praise.
Okay, yes. A shadow is always connected with light. If there was no light, there would be no shadow. Did you get what I just said? Paul said the shadow is always connected to
whatever is casting it.
But If there wasn't any light, there'd never be no shadow. Okay? That's why David said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he went on to say in that tremendous chapter, yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. If there's a shadow, there has to be a light. And God said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God is light. And yes, thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, thank you. I prayed this morning that God would anoint me, Don Campbell. I prayed this morning that I would be anointed of the Spirit of God this morning. God is light, and he dwells in the light. Heaven is a city of light. Praise God. The Bible said there is no darkness in God. Therefore, his joy, according to John, little John, his joy is this. My joy is that my children walk in the light. The light. Don't be afraid of the shadow. Now, there was a show, I don't know if I watched it, but back in the 60s, there was a television show that was called Dark Shadows. It was kind of like Peyton Place, you know, and it was really when movies, sitcoms really got going, and Peyton Place was one of them. And Peyton Place was a, Dorothy Malone was one of the key characters in Peyton Place. It was a place of infidelity and adultery and mystery and dark shadows. I don't even remember what it was all about, the TV show. But just the title of it lets me know it may not have been too good. God is not a dark shadow. God shadows us. He shadows us with his light. So I really got carried away with Psalms 91 this morning. And I said, God, because I'm dwelling in my secret place this morning, I'm in my prayer time. I'm in my private place here. I'm in my place of communion. I'm in my place of my Bible and my music. God, I've shut my pocket doors. I am in this place. And because I'm in this place, you're going to do this. You're going to do the second part. I'm going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to abide there. I'm going to abide there. I'm going to be protected there. I am overshadowed there. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Yes, Lord. Say with me this morning, because I'm in my secret place, I am surrounded by light. Praise God. Isn't that great? I am surrounded by light. I am surrounded by light. They see UFOs now. And every one of the UFOs, there's a mysterious light in the sky. I mean, you know, they're just, that's a UFO. There's a UFO. And every week goes by, there's someone that puts some kind of picture on Facebook or it's on television or whatever. I want to tell you, God is not a UFO. He is not an unidentified flying object. God is identifiable. Oh, glory to God. He's not only identifiable, he is approachable. Amen. Don't be afraid of the shadows, because it is the Almighty. I love saying that. I said that yesterday. I said, God, I don't even know what I was doing. I said, Father God, you are the Almighty One. Get Psalms 91. Now, Rita passed out bookmarks last week, and hopefully you've got those. Keep that in your pocket. Friday night, or was it this Friday morning too? Did everybody get their bookmark from Rita last week? Okay. And I don't know if they're here or where, but anyway, Rita, bless her heart, ordered us a bookmark. They're kind of like opals there, but it's got Psalms 91 on for all of us. Yes, just like this. And thank you, Miss Barb. And this is the song Amazing Grace, okay? Carry this. Get this out in the morning time when you're sitting there in your prayer time. The TV's off, everything's off. And remember the nine places of rest, okay? One of those was solitude. And you're holding this Psalms 91 in your hand and you're praying it. Verse by verse, verse by verse. Get and go slow, don't read it fast. You get and you say, Lord, he that dwelleth in the secret place. You can pause there. He that dwelleth in the secret place, Lord, I'm reading it, I'm praying it. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then pause again. Thank you, Lord. And then you begin to thank Him for Psalms 91 in verse number 1. Thank you, Lord, that I'm dwelling. I'm lodging. Lord, I'm staying here for a while. Praise God, I'm not in a hurry, Lord, to leave my secret place. Father God, I'm not in a hurry to get out of your presence. And because of that, Father, I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Father, for that. And that's how you do it. You just take your time praying Psalms 91. And when you're doing that, God is beginning to come and protect you. Not only are you surrounded by light, you are surrounded by protection. A protection. Praise God. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Haven't got to verse 2. God, you are surrounded by protection. What is a pro? It's someone that knows what they're doing. Praise God. Can I help you with something this morning? God is not a rookie or an amateur in the terms of protecting you. He's been in the protecting business for thousands and probably millions of years. When he protected them in the Old Testament, the Bible said there was a cloud of a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Praise God. And it was between when they were protected. It was even in the 12 plagues that night when the death plague came, the Passover was instituted. As long as they stayed behind the blood, they were protected and the death angel could not touch them. Oh, I want to tell you something now. Don't you listen to me. God, and I don't want to use this lightly. God is in the protecting business. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. We have just seen, and I'm not, what I'm about to say is not derogatory, and I'm not saying it mean-spirited. We just seen a horrible murder take place in Mexico. 9 family members were murdered by the cartel. And not only they were murdered, they were burnt. Their cars were burnt. And when I seen the road that they were on, I thought, oh my goodness, who would travel a road like that with a 7-month-old child? I'm being careful here. Paula was talking about something yesterday, and we must be careful about getting in places that it's hard. Can God protect us anywhere? Yes. But if we move out of His protection because of a fleshly or an earthly, I remember Brother Moore talking about, he was counseling. He got a phone call one day when he was at Oral Roberts on staff, or Rhema, and he was on staff. He got a phone call from a woman that had been molested or robbed, or and both. And she was so terrified. What was it? She had been mugged and was so terrified of what happened. And she said, I don't understand. God's supposed to be protecting me. God's supposed to be watching over me. What happened? And Brother Moore was trying to give counsel. And finally, the Holy Spirit quickened him. He said, where were you when this happened? And she said, oh, I was in such and such part of town. What was you doing over there? And she said, well, I went over there to get some gas for my car. And because it was like 2 or 3 cents less money than it was over in the good side of town. And then it dawned on, he said, ma'am, you were seeking price versus protection. Listen to me today. Yeah, did you have a check in your spirit about going over there? And she said, yes, but I overrode it. I overrode it. Don't override the Spirit of God prompting you about where you need to be at a certain time, at a certain place. I'm just saying that this morning. Be careful. If you've not dwelled in the secret place of the Most High, there may be a chance that you won't be under the shadow of the Almighty. And we must have this teaching, because there's been people, I can tell you, of plane crashes that preachers have been in when people told them not to go. There's an ice storm. Don't fly tonight. What's the matter? Won't you leave in the morning? And they went ahead and flew out, and they got in a certain place, and it was icing over on their wings. The pilot, which was a preacher, lost his life and lost two of his sons' lives. He didn't only get out of protection, but his two sons got out of protection. Guys, listen to me. We are so, if we're not careful, we'll claim the policy, and we'll claim the plan, and we'll claim the protector, but we haven't been in His presence. That is good teaching for Friday morning. Praise God. We've told our kids that. We don't share it out of fear. We share it out of wisdom. Let me tell you, there are certain places in this city, Kansas City, you have no right being in at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning. You nearly don't have no right to be there in the middle of the day. But especially at night, at 2 a.m., at 1 a.m. Why? Because there is an enemy that wants to take us out. We have to be careful about where and when we do certain things, because we feel like we got to be there, or I want to be there, and I must be there. Don't override the Spirit of God. Don't override that, okay? So, I was really carried away, and Don, I need a bigger screen to see my time. I was really carried away praying, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, and...
Even in life insurance policies or health insurance policies,
yes.
Your agent practice dangerous hobbies or activities.
Thank you.
And if you do, just letting you know, those are not covered in this policy.
That is so right. And you know, I just thought too, Paula, talking about what is inside the policy. I think when it concerns an automobile, that if you leave your keys in your vehicle and it's stole, it may not be covered. And if you go outside, it is against the law of Kansas City to go outside and turn your car on to warm it up. It is a law within this city. Why? Because it sets that car or yourself up as a stolen vehicle.
And in health insurance, if you live the new kind of insurance, especially the kind we have, if you live an unhealthy lifestyle, our insurance company will not accept you as a customer.
This is great stuff this morning. This is very sensible teaching, because I think yes, Holy Spirit, I think Psalms 91 has been misused and abused. And I made mention last week, no need expecting any of the other verses if we have not done verse number one. Okay? You got to get that one down pat. Now, I've just spent half of my time on dealing with this again this morning. Praise God. But I was so carried away in my prayer time this morning. And, reckless driving, drug abuse, nicotine, alcohol, the list goes on. All these things, you can pray for all the protection in the world. But if you're constantly getting DUIs, I mean, to tell you, there's going to be an issue here. Okay? If you're constantly chain smoking, it is defiling the temple, number one, and it's destroying your body, number two. Okay? If you're constantly abusing your body and then asking God to protect you and give you long life, it's not going to work. I'm having to learn this. I'm having to learn this. I want to live a long life. But if I am constantly abusing myself with bad eating, with bad habits, staying up late, getting up early, burning the candle at both ends, I do not have the right for me to ask God to give me long life. I don't have the right to do that. And God is helping me. God is helping me understand this, because we were part of, and I don't know why, but maybe we need to hear this. We were a part of a group of people that there wasn't a lot of fun things to do. In the essence, that there was definitely no fun things or things to do in the world, like go to a ball game or watch a ball game, or the list goes on. Okay, and I'm not being derogatory. My mother is still part of that, and so anyway, I said all that to say this: one of the things that was the key component of the fellowship that we were in was eating. Oh, that was what we got to do. That we would eat after church. We didn't care what we ate. And we just didn't. I mean, how many times did we preach and go out and eat at Pizza Hut?
There's no limitations or moderation.
Yeah, and there wasn't. And now it is so sad that I see it on Facebook and different ones that died an early age or died this, and I see obesity. And I thought, God, not only, God, am I thankful that you delivered me from that fellowship, but God, I am thankful that I understand that you have a better plan for me and my family. And Father God, thank you that I'm not abusing my body by late eating anymore. I'm going to say that. I'm not abusing my... I remember our kids. We would always eat by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because my doctor said, Robert, anytime after that, your heart's going to beat all night. and you're going to feel tired the next morning. Your heart has worked all night to digest the food that you just ate. And our kids was over somewhere visiting with someone, and one of them called us and said, Dad, or talked to Paula and said, Mom, we're over here and we haven't ate yet, and now they're wanting to eat at 8 o'clock tonight. Can we eat with them? That's how serious that was. Now, I'm not going to say that both of them are living the righteous way right now concerning eating like that. You know, I'm not going to say that. But I am thankful that we still, most of the time, adhere to the fact that we're just not going to, do all this late night stuff. I said all that to say this. Be careful when you're praying for God to protect you and you're abusing His order, His plan. Praise God. This is good stuff this morning. You said you're being personal. That we need to be. We need to address some issues. And someone said, well, you done got out of the road and you're plowing now. That's, well, sometimes we have to plow deep. Now I've got 11 minutes. Or maybe, no, I've got, what have I got, 20? I got 18 minutes now. And we haven't got to Psalms 2 yet. Praise God. It's not. It is. We need to hear this. We need to hear this. I'm learning. I want to live a long, productive life. Praise God. And I want to do things. And there's things, Don Campbell, I still want to do in life. I've told Don, I said, Don, share with us your age, please. 78. I have told Don Campbell, Don, you are so blessed. Now, I know we had the knee surgery there. And I said, Don, I've seen this man and I've been out here with him. I'm telling you, I tell him, I said, Don, when I am 78, I pray to the good Lord that I am as healthy and as strong and as a greater worker as you are. And I mean that.
I'm 68. I thought that was 60.
And then I got an Uncle Bubba that's getting on the plane tomorrow that's 81 years old.
Oh, wow.
81 years old. And let me tell you, and I'm not being, you know, but when we hunt and you know, these guys do the poo, they go to the Gulf, and I've been with them. And when he has his shirt off, like in the pool or, you know, the shower, and even in the hotel room, the back of his back, his muscles are just like that right there. He's got the body of a 50-year-old. He's 81 years old. It's totally amazing. But you know what? He rides the bicycle every morning 3 miles. And he's 81. We'll hunt this next week, and I've already told the guide, because someone's already told me, I am not running with them to hunt anymore. They literally run. They hunt like they live. Okay? But my uncle's 81. My mother is 82 years of age. Now, she's shuffling more like this. But she still cooks, she still drives, she still goes down the Rouses and buys her groceries, she still goes down the Winn-Dixie, she'll still drive her way to church on Sunday morning. She is constantly, there's not a week goes by, she is cooking for somebody that's had a surgery or that's been sick or that's ill or been in the hospital. My mama that is 82 years of age. Praise God. I'm telling you, I've got something. My granddad was 92. My great-grandmothers were 96. I've got something to live forward to. But if I abuse my body, I don't have the right for me to ask God to protect me. I've got to learn better how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And if I do that, I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God.
And in that secret place, He will give you instructions on anything you are in question.
I totally agree with what Paula just said. That could possibly be one of the most important, imperative things. Why you're there, yes. Why you're there, He will share. There's two words, since we may not get to verse 2, there's two words that's been in my spirit for 3 days praying over this. Okay? Because it was going to be my part of my verse number 2, but I'm going to go ahead and share it with you. Okay? Two words. Are you ready? I was going to talk about refuge today, okay? Refuge. 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 Okay? Two things have been in my spirit for the last 3 days. I was awakened with it sometimes last night. Okay? It's the word, are you ready? It's the word refuse. 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 And it's the word refuel. 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 If we refuse to get in the secret place, God cannot and will not refuel us. We must constantly, the word R-E is a prefix that means to do it over again. Revive, okay? Revive, revive us again, Lord. Refuel us, okay? There's not a one of you that put gas in your car and you can drive for 4,000 miles in 3 months. Can't do it. What do you have to do? You have to go back and get refueled. Fill it back up. Fill it back up. I do not want to go through life on a depleted tank. We have had a tendency in our family to keep driving till the light comes on. That is not a good policy. Thank you. That is not a good policy. Let me help you. This is very different this morning. Let me help you with that. Mechanically, you have electric fuel pump in your tank, and it has to have a good flow of petroleum, or you're going to burn the fuel pump up, and then it's going to be a very costly fix. That's on the mechanical side of it, okay? Running till the light comes on, then guess what? What if you wind up in a traffic jam where there's been a truck turned over and you spend 4 hours waiting for the interstate to clear up? You're probably going to run out of gas. What if a snowstorm comes? And the list goes on. I love what Bob told Miss Barb. Don't get below a half a tank.
That's what I've always told my kids.
Thank you. You guys are a different generation. Sad to say, we don't practice some of what you know. We're doing better. We're doing better. Let me give you a good part of it. If you fill up and don't let it get to a half a tank, it don't take near as much money to fill it up when that sucker's sitting on empty. Can I help you? What looks better this morning, $35 or $70? What looks better? Don't run on a depleted tank. Don't keep going and going and going and the lights come on and God's saying, you need to pull over and refuel. No, I'm going to refuse to do that. Those two words have been in my spirit for 3 days. If we refuse to refuel, We're going to pull off to the side of the road and we're going to be disabled physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, the whole nine yards. And God is trying to say, pull over and let me fill you back up. This is good this morning. This is good this morning. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, this is incredible preaching this morning, guys. Let me tell you what you're doing when you're doing Psalms 91 and 1. You are refueling in your secret place every morning. Refueling in your secret place every morning. And God is giving you some high octane petroleum because, let me help you with something. You do not know what a day holds. Not a one of you do. You can live by a calendar. You can live by a journal. You can live by reminders. My phone reminded me early this morning, cook the ham. Because we got a ham to cook for the boys, okay? Cook the ham. Constantly reminded of something. God is saying the nine things that I told you about rest. God is telling us, for me to use you, you can't refuse the private, secret place of the Most High.
It's going to require stopping.
You got to pull in and let me refuel you. Now, some people want to be like the big old cargo plane that never has to stop. There's a refueling plane that comes in and gets right over the top of them and drops a hose down. Some people don't want to stop. They want to be refueled like that. Thank you. Boy, y'all are getting the point this morning. That two words have been in my spirit, refusing and refueling. If we refuse to refuel, we're going to run out of gas after a while. We're going to run out of promises. We're going to run out of strength. We move out from underneath the Almighty God protecting us. Are you getting the point today? Praise God. We'll end a little early because I don't want to go any, I don't want to say anything concerning verse number 2 because it's way too good to start right now. You just seen my notes. I was writing them down this morning. Praise God. And I cannot wait to go to Psalms 144 and Psalm 71. Oh my goodness. Don't write them down yet because you're going to say, oh, he is so right. Powerful. Father, thank you for the class this morning. I pray that this will be just as great tonight. Father, thank you for every person that is under the sound of our voice. And Lord, when Don puts this on the website, people are coming up to me and saying, I'm listening to this. I pray that it is a blessing to them, Lord. Thank you for today. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says amen. Now turn to someone right beside you and say, you better stop and refuel.